All right, good evening. Amen. Open the Bible to Romans chapter number 6. I want to get right at it here. I enjoyed the squash the frog game very much. Move. If that had been me, I'd have said, move, move, move. Of course, I don't know if the guy would have got the frog going that fast. Move, 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 stop. Move, 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 you know, rather than move. And, the trucks are coming. Amen. I don't know how that thing's worked out. Probably, well, I don't want to get into it. Amen. I love games like that. Romans 6. Y'all ever heard of a union? What is a union? It's when two things, or more, but let's just say two tonight, when two things are united, right? The top of this pulpit is united to the bottom. Another good example of a union is mom and dad, husband and wife. I don't know of a stronger union than that on the earth physically than, of course, your husband and wife, mom and dad. That's a union. And so when things are united, workers sometimes form unions. And that means they come together for better pay, better protection, et cetera, et cetera. But a union when two things come together. Now, the most important union that you can be in life is for you to come into a union with the Lord. A union where you and the Lord Jesus walk together. You live together. You sleep together. You work together. You think together. And that's what we have in Romans 6. We have a union described. Paul, earlier in a couple of verses earlier, is talking about the law of God. You know what laws are. On the highway, they have speed limit signs. 55 in rural areas usually, or 65, 70 on the interstate. That's the law. That's what you're not supposed to break. God has laws. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. And that's a law. And by the way, nobody in here has ever kept that one all the way. We've all failed to love God with everything we have. Lots of times we love ourselves. So that's a law. Thou shalt not covet. You should not desire what somebody else has. But we've all done it. So we break these laws. And the law, God gave the law so that, Romans teaches, that we would know we've broken it. You know, a lot of people are confused and they think that God gave the Ten Commandments so that we could try to keep them to earn our way to heaven. But that's not taught in the Bible. And the people of Jesus' nation, they kind of got caught up in that, this called thing called keeping the law to get in a union with God. Now, God wants us to keep His law, but He didn't give it to us for that purpose. Well, He did give it to us to keep it, but He did not give it to us to keep it to earn heaven. The Bible says that God gave us His laws so we would know we weren't keeping them. And then that would be called what? Does anybody know? Sin. S-I-N. Sin. What is sin? Well, smoking sin is committing adultery sin, is stealing sin, is murder sin. Well, these are sins. Well, how do we know? The Bible. Okay? So sin is the breaking of God's law. And here in Romans, Paul makes the point that when the law came in, when God gave the Ten Commandments and all the rest of the law, then sin really started looking bad. Because think about it, if you're going down a highway and there's no speed limit signs, can you break the law? Well, if it's not posted, and I understand there's some roads in Europe like that, I'd like to get on some of those, see how I could do. But the fact is, If they never put the speed limit sign up there, you would never know you're breaking the law. But see, God hadn't left it like that. God's given us all these laws so that all of us would realize we haven't kept the law and we're guilty. And of course, God set the wages or the payment for committing sins as death. And that death includes dying physically. Any of you ever been to a funeral, looked in a casket? That's death. But it also includes dying spiritually. And we're born that way, really. And then dying forever in a place called hell. And so Paul is writing here and he's making this point. Look, sin abounds. It's very bad in view of God's law. But then he makes this great statement. But where sin abounded, God's grace much more abounded. You know what grace is? That's not just something you say at the table, okay? Grace is God's goodness to save us that we don't deserve. I can't get saved by keeping the law because I can't keep it. And so God decided that I could be saved just because He's good and He's willing to forgive me. That's how good He is. But He only forgives me one way, and that's through the cross of His Son, Jesus Christ. Because you see, God is not only gracious and He wants to save us, He is also holy. And He hates sin. And when He told Adam and Eve, the day you sin, you die, when He wrote through Paul Romans, for the wages of sin is death, God means that. And so here I am, Gary Bill. I've told the folks here this week, I did not get saved until I was 20. But all my teenage years, I committed all kinds of sins. But it wasn't until the age of 20 when I came and I bowed myself before God and I believed in the cross and that Jesus paid my sin debt for me. See, all of my sins that I committed and all the sins I ever will commit, they have to be paid for by death because God said so. But here's the great truth. Christ paid for all my sins, past, present, and future. And so that's what the grace of God is. God didn't have to do that. God did that because He's good, because He loves us. And so He sent His Son, and where sin abounded, God posted the law through Moses, and He did that so we'd all hang our head and realize we'd broken the law. And then He sent His Son, who lived a perfect life and fulfilled every part of the law Himself for me. And then when He went to the cross, He took all of my sins on Himself, and there He suffered death as God's demand for me, and God has taken His goodness and perfection and righteousness, and He's credited that to me. When God looks on me tonight, He sees the righteousness, the goodness of His Son. When He looked on His Son on the cross, He saw my and your filth on His Son. Now, with that background, I'm just going to give you a few little short thoughts about our union with Christ. You can't be in a union with Christ until you believe what I've just told you, the gospel. The Bible teaches we're born into the world sinners, and we all prove it pretty quick. And that if we don't get saved, if we don't get forgiven, if we never accept the grace of God by simple trust, then we will die in our sins and we will go and burn in hell and suffer eternal death. But God doesn't want that. The Bible says the Lord's not willing any perish. He wants all to come to repentance. And when I came at the age of 20 and got on my knees and I humbled myself and trusted Christ, He saved me. He put my sins where they were already put on Christ, and His perfection was put on me, and I'm saved now. So let me ask you this. Do you think when I got saved at 20 and I came into a union with the Lord, do you think I just went back out and lived the same old rotten, sinful way I had been living? Well, if I had, something would have been wrong with that, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be wrong? All right, let me just read here a couple of verses. Romans 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? You see, here's the thinking of man. If God saves me by His goodness and I don't have to keep the law to get saved, hey, then I'll just come let God save me by His grace, and then I can just keep on sinning. And Paul said, is that the way it's supposed to be? And then he goes on. Look at what he said next. He said, God forbid, literally, may that never be so. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer in it? Now listen, this is a little bit heavy for some of you, but I'll try to make it as simple as I can. When I came to Christ that night in California, and I came into union by faith, I joined in with Christ, I died with Him that night. Okay? And I actually am a dead man. You ever seen a dead man so loud? Probably not. I'm dead. But how am I dead? I died supernaturally, spiritually, and yes, even a little mysteriously. The Bible teaches that when I came to Jesus to believe in Him, I was crucified in Him and with Him. And the things I have died to, the rest of the New Testament teaches, are things like I've died to self. I've died to self-rule. I'm not in charge anymore in my life. I'm in union with the Son of God. He's in charge. See, I died. The Bible says in another place, we die to the world. Now, what does that mean? Well, the world is an organized system of men in opposition against God. It's all around us. You see it on the television set. You can see it in the halls, ways of schools. The world is not a friend of God. And before I came into union with Christ, I was living with the world, for the world, like the world. But when I came into union with Christ and I died with Him on the cross, I died to the world. I died to sin, it teaches here. It doesn't mean I can't sin. It's that I died to my sin habit and nature and the power of a sin nature. You see, before I came into union with Christ, sin ruled my life. But now that I've died with Christ, Christ has broken that domination of sin in my life. And now I reign in life, it says here, by Jesus Christ. The verses go on to say that just like sin reigned in my life before, now grace reigns in my life by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now, young people, I know this is a little heavy, but hang with me, okay? Might be heavy for some of you grown-ups. We died with Christ. We've come into union with Christ. I share in His death, but I don't just share in His death. I just don't want to be a dead man all the way, all the time. I want life. I've got it in my union. Let me read. Just look at it with me there. Romans 6. Know ye not, verse 3, don't you know that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death. Now get this, here we go, here comes the life. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we dead ones, we also should walk in newness of life. Look at the next verse. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. You getting that? I came to Christ. I died with Christ. I was put away with Christ. I died to the world. I died to my self-rule. I died to sin. I died to the rudiments of the world, the philosophies of the world. The old man, the old flesh was crucified. But that's not where it stops, because Christ died and was buried, but he didn't stay dead. Amen? He rose from the dead. He was victorious over death. And just like I was buried with him, I rose with him. And now I walk in newness of life. Oh, I'm dead, but I'm alive. Hey, I'm more alive tonight than I've ever been. But I'm more dead than I've ever been, in a sense, because Paul said something like this in another place in the Bible. He said, I die daily. Now, this is kind of heavy teaching, but we died at the cross with Christ, and that we have to reckon so. We have to count it so. But also, every day my eyes pop open, like Paul, I need to reapply that truth in my life. I heard about an old missionary lady that was on the mission field a long time, and someone asked her, I think, in a college chapel setting, to give the kids some keys about how she served the Lord all alone on a foreign mission field for so long. She said one of the keys was every morning she'd get up and go into the bathroom and look in the mirror and say, drop dead. That's pretty good. You know who my biggest problem is? It's not the devil. It's me. So Christians, we have come into union with the Son of God. We've been crucified with him on Calvary. We've been buried and put away. We're hid in Christ, the Bible said. We're not to be seen. People shouldn't see us, but we have been raised too. And just like Christ was walking in newness of life after the resurrection, Christ could walk through a wall after the resurrection. Christ could transport himself anywhere he wanted. Now, I can't do that yet, but I walk in a different way. And Paul says here, how can we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? You see, death, friends, is separation. Death separates us from the life we were living. Think about it. If somebody in this room dies in a car wreck on the way home, and I hope that doesn't happen, but it happens. If somebody in this room dies on the way home, your death is going to separate you from this way of living. Would you agree with that? You will not be putting your clothes off for bed tonight if you die on the side of the highway out here. You'll not be getting a late night snack. You won't set your alarm, because you will cease to walk in the same way after death. And that's the point Paul's making here. How are we that died in our union with Jesus, how are we going to go back now and live as dead sinners? It's impossible. People that say they're saved, people that say they're Christians, but their lives aren't evident that they're walking in a new way, there's something wrong with that. Something wrong with that. I mean, if I hear, and I heard today, one of my dear friends, Christian friends, died Monday. I had one die this past fall in the hospital down the hall from me when I was in the hospital. I knew him for 30 years, and this other fellow that died Monday, I knew him for 30 years. And his notice was in the paper. The funeral, I think, is tomorrow. So when I get home tomorrow, if I see that man at Walmart, I'm going to be shook up. Because I know he died Monday. You see, he'll not be walking here anymore because death has separated him from this sphere. Well, my friend, my union with Christ, my death, burial, and resurrection with Christ has separated me from walking in a sinful way the rest of my life. It doesn't mean I can't sin, but sin is not my master anymore. I have a new master. And you'll read about that in the latter part of Romans 6. I wish I had time for that, but I'd put you all to sleep probably. A union. Let's read on just for a few minutes, then I'll quit. Look at verse 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. One goes with the other. Knowing this, that our old man, there you go, our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For if he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him, for in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Jesus died how many times? Once. He died once. They buried him in a borrowed tomb, and then on Easter Sunday morning, he came out of that tomb. And he'll never die again. One time. And Paul says, just like that, you died to sin as a master, to the world, to yourself, one time. And that death won't be repeated. Though we have to reapply that truth in our hearts, and we have to reckon that so on a daily basis, the fact is, when I died with Christ on that cross, I died once like he died once. And just like he rose from the dead, never to die again, friend, I will never die back into having sin as my master. I died once with Christ on Calvary. He was raised one time from the dead. And that night I bowed my head and I died with Christ by faith on that cross. I was raised to walk in newness of life. And that's a permanent deal right there. I'm walking in a new way. And if you're saved, you're walking in a new way too. Let's finish it up. Verse 10, for in that he died unto sin once. In that he liveth unto God. Now let's get verse 11, 12, and 13, and I'll land the plane, okay? And hopefully I won't hit any frogs coming in. Look at verse 11. Likewise. What does that mean? Just like Christ. In the same way, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. But when I get up in the morning, I slept all night in union with Christ. He watched over me through the night. When I woke up a time or two in the night, I spoke to him. I do this every night. When you get my age, you wake up a time or two a night. We won't go any further than that, okay? But when I wake up in the middle of the night, because I'm a little older, I talk to the Lord. He's right there. And he brings calm and peace to my heart. And then when I get up in the morning, I try to daily surrender myself back to the fact that I was crucified with him and that I'm now walking in newness of life. This is something I reckon daily. You ever heard anybody say, it's like, well, I reckon so. What does that mean? Well, I believe, I count it that way. That's the way I see it. And so every morning, Christian, when we get up and we rehearse the fact we died with him when we got saved, we're walking in newness of life, never to go back into a pattern of letting sin tell us what to do. Now we wake up and we basically say, Lord, I died with you. I'm reckoning that so now. I've been raised with you. Hey, I'm reckoning that so too. I'm accepting that. Lord, help me to live like it's true today. We reckon ourselves. And then finally here, there's a couple of things God calls on us to do. Verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Basically, this means stop letting sin run your life. Now, when we get saved, we come into union with Christ. Here's something the Bible also teaches. We drag our old flesh along with us. And if we're not careful, we can fall back into fleshy ways, though we can never be mastered by the sin nature again. We can flirt with the sin nature, and we can do old man things that we ought not be doing. And that's why the Apostle Paul said, stop it. Stop living like you've never been united. Live like you're united with Christ. Live like you died with him. Live like you're alive with him. Stop acting like you're independent of the Lord. Let not sin reign. Let it not reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lusts thereof. Verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but contrary, yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. I'm made up of members. I lost a few parts of members in a table saw, okay? I got some short fingers here. These are my members. I have 10 fingers, although some of them's about half size now. But these are my members. Who are my hands to be yielded to in this union, you think? Sin or Jesus Christ? Well, before I got saved, my hands were yielded to my sin nature and to the devil, and I've done some bad things with these hands, as most of us have. I've got legs here. These are members right here. Got arms. I got ears. I got eyes. I got a mouth, a big one, loud one, amen. I've got lungs. You can hear them, I hope. I've got a mind. I have a will. I have emotions. Who are they to be yielded to? They're to be yielded to my master that I'm in union with, because I died with him and I've been raised with him. He owns me. He made me. He remade me. He forgave me. He's promised to take me home with him. Yield. Stop letting sin reign. Stop. Yield your members to the Lord, not to sin. So, you in union with him? Are you in union with the Lord? And if you say you're in union with him, are you yielded to him? Oh, listen, folks, we live in a day when everyone can talk the talk, it seems. A lot of people say they're saved, they're Christians, but their lifestyle, the things they're doing, the way they're yielding their members to lust and fornication and alcohol and drugs and debauchery and pornography and a lot of people that say they're saved, they don't think much of church and they hardly ever come and they never read their Bible really and they don't have a prayer life. What's going on with that? I thought we were united with him. Live like you're united if you say you are. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the time in the Bible tonight. Thank you for the good time we've had with the kids. But now, Lord, as we wrap this night up and this meeting up, Lord, I pray you do work in the hearts of people sitting here. Lord, I believe with all my heart there's folks here that need to enter into this union. with the Lord Jesus, your Son, our Lord. And I pray even tonight that there'd be one or two or more that would quit playing games with this and they'd get serious about coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ and accepting Him as their Savior, willing to die to themselves, to the world, and come alive to You through Your wonderful grace that's available in Your Son, Jesus. Help me as I close the service. Help those that are here that need to respond to do something now, tonight. My invitation, and let's keep our heads bowed for just a moment. We're almost done. My invitation tonight, similar to the last few nights. My friend, if you aren't saved, you need to be saved. That's why you're here. That's why God has you here. God brings people in, together with other people and into services where the Word is preached on purpose. And if you're sitting here and you've not united with Christ in faith by asking Him to forgive you and be your Savior, you need to do that. And you have opportunity to do it tonight. If you'd like to accept Christ, I'd love to sit down with you. We'll sit down in one of these rooms downstairs. And I will gently and simply show you how you can pray to the Lord if you're serious and ask Him to forgive you and be your Savior and take away your sins and give you a home in heaven and cancel your trip that's coming to hell for being a sinner. And start on the most wonderful, miraculous life of a union with God you could imagine. Would you let me talk with you and pray with you tonight? As promised last night, and I say again tonight, I want you, if you will be willing to talk to me, to take the first step by just acknowledging that. And I ask you if you would, slip your hand up and put it down. I am not going to call you out or corral you. I don't do that. But it would be a great step for you to just haul off and admit it in humility. Preacher, I need to get saved. And I'm ready. I want to do it. Would you meet with me? And again, I'm not going to point you out. And if you decide to walk out of here without talking to me, that's your privilege. But would you at least admit, I need Jesus Christ? Anyone in the room? Amen. I see that. Someone else. I need Jesus Christ. Lord, You know. I pray for this one that's raised the hand, that You'll give that one the courage now to follow through. I look forward, Lord, to helping that one come to know You tonight. Lord, there's others I fear that are here that need to be saved, and I pray that before the night's over, they'll even stay back and meet with me or with Pastor or with one of the ladies here, if they're a lady, and they'll get saved. And I pray You'd help every one of us that are in union with You to live like it. In Christ's name, amen. If you raised your hand, I'll be available downstairs.